Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the text that follows right after the reading that was given to you at the lectern, and especially these words, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are my ways your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, never would have thought of that. I could have had a V8. This morning I had coffee. I had my vitamin pills. I could have had a V8, but I never would have thought of that. And isn't that the way it is in life? There are thoughts that we have, and then somehow we look back and say, I could have done that better, or it could have gone a different way, or we just stand in awe of all the human invention and all the creativity in life and say, I never would have thought of that. And so we marvel at the way in which God has created us, and we marvel at the society in which we live, and we marvel at the thinking of humankind, because there is something very intricate and complex about it. People have discovered in China, in the archaeological digs, that the people in China 9,000 years ago or something like that already had sewing needles and a rather intricate community as creative humankind. Never would have thought of that. And all the inventions that have come along in time, never would have thought of post-it notes, but whoever did certainly has a bundle by now. Never would have thought of laptop computers or cars with roofs that slide back on sunny days or pantyhose, whoever figured out that one. Never would have thought of security lights that come on with a voice and say, please step back from the wall. That's a good one. Never would have thought of car locks that won't lock when my keys are still in the ignition. Where's that genius? I want to congratulate him. Never would have thought of the internet access to the world's great libraries. How simply amazing. Never would have thought of that. And on the world scene, never would have thought that Reagan would have gotten elected. Never would have thought that Nixon would have to resign. Never would have thought that Clinton wouldn't have to resign. Never would have thought that the Soviet Union would crumble from within as predicted, and we wouldn't have to fight them. Never would have thought that the stock market would go over 10,000. Never would have thought that arsenals would not be used, these atomic bombs, in an all-out war 50 years after World War II. Never would have thought the Rams would beat the Falcons. Ultimately, it's all of our creative thinking and the creative society in which we live, and ultimately it is so very, very interesting. But also our thinking and our thoughts and our creativity ultimately are also a sign of our fallenness, because they always kind of point back to how we are doing as we look at one another. They never really have to point back with what God's thinking about all this. They're always our thoughts, and our thoughts are just not God's thoughts, says the writer in Isaiah. Man's thoughts always point back to us. If one is Bill Gates and he has billions of dollars, can he still be humble before the Creator? And this internet access that leads us into the world's great libraries and all the latest information on about any subject you want, it can also teach us how to make a lead pipe bomb or how to make a revolver so it repeats rather than just gives one shot at a time. The very things that seem that they should be able to lift us up become the very things that show us that in this morass of all this human thought and all this creativity and all the fun that we're having with it also lies the fact that it's all human thought, that it can be used for good and that it can be used for evil, and that now we not only have to worry about the economy and the military, but whether or not somebody will get into an internet access to either of them and play havoc with the whole thing. We have creative ways, and our thoughts are creative over against our God. In Xi'an, China, where all those terracotta soldiers are in the ground to guard the emperor at the time of his death so that his enemies would not be able to hurt him. Never would have thought of that. Well, what a creative way to get around what God has revealed. We can be so creative. I have a friend who's 62 years old now, and he's a Christian man, and he said to me one day, "I will have to decide at this point in my life if there is a heaven." I said, "Well, it's probably time." But the whole idea of this new individualism, even in our friends, you see, this new individualism, what I decide will make it happen. My thoughts are probably just as good as God's thoughts. In fact, they probably have just as much to play with my future as God, what God has revealed about my future, because they're my thoughts. I, human being number one. And what is different than that, than what the Bible says? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Or the fact that ultimately it all goes back to placing us somehow closer to God rather than letting God be God. God wants us to put aside all of our thoughts, all of our thinking, because he says it's just not his way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He says, let the evil man put away his ways. Let the wicked man put away his thoughts. Whether they are good or bad, ultimately, they all result in the fallen human beings that we are. But they're not my thoughts, says God. God has greater thoughts than this for Judah. God has a plan for Judah. And the plan is beyond the day. It's beyond the moment. It's beyond the cute things that we get in life and make for one another and make whole stores full of them. Isn't it something, you see? He calls for us to come back to him now while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found, says the writer. Seek him while he is near. Call upon him now, people of God. Call upon him even though you don't see him or understand him or know him. Call upon him because we need to find his thought, which is beyond our thought. And usually there's a little procrastination that goes in here. The man who said to Jesus, "Oh, let me go first bury my father," you see. I will change my ways, I will change my behavior, I will take seriously my sins, and I'll really get down to business with this religious thing on my time, God. Now that's a good thought. But still, it's our thought. It was the man's thought. It's no wonder Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead." That's not my thought. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't you understand? It's not my thinking. My thinking is different than your thinking. My thoughts are different than your thoughts. You may say, as James says, today or tomorrow, we will go into a town, we will do this, and we will do that, and we will make our plans, and we will come to Luther Hostel, and then we will go down to Perry County, and then we will go back, and so on, and so on, and so on, and next year I'll be a vicar, and I'll go out there, and I will come back, and then I will graduate. And James says, but you forget that you are all like a mist that ultimately just vanishes. And as God says in the Psalms, all of man's thoughts are as a breath, as just one little breath that comes out of our lungs today. The thoughts of man as compared with the thoughts of God. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thought, your ways are not my ways, says God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Give me the best thinking, all the inventions, all the ways you can get around me, all the ways you can procrastinate, all the ways you can put off doing what you need to do with your own personal life. And it's like a breath. It just is here today and it is gone. All that good thinking. Because it doesn't fit in with my thoughts. God has a plan for Israel. Let them come to this free banquet. It is so different than what you and I think of. We don't think anything in life is free, let alone a whole banquet. Come without money or without price and buy wine and milk. You who have no money, who just realize that because of your sins, you have nothing to offer God. Well, come anyway and eat at the banquet, and God will feed his people and watch over them. The telephone rang, and my wife answered it. Later, I said, "Who was that?" She says, "Oh, I don't know." She says, "Somebody said I won a car." I said, "Well, did you?" She says, no, I don't know. I hung up on them. Nothing's free. And that's the thought of man. I hung up on them. Nothing's free. Great. Now I'll never know if we got the car, you see. But the thoughts of human beings, we struggle to please God with our lives and our thoughts. I will be an engineer. I will be a computer specialist. I will be a lawyer. I will be a vagabond. And God says, you will be a pastor. And all these different motivations come within, and we try to do it so purely and so intently and so honestly, so sincerely and so uprightly, because we want to serve God with our heart and our life and our soul and our whole being. And we realize we may not like somebody in that congregation, somebody for whom Christ has died. And we may like the religiosity. We may kind of like the power. We may kind of like, well, maybe the whole thing's an atonement for past sins. Something, of course, we don't believe in. But it's a human thought, and that's the way the human thoughts go. They're always so different than God's thoughts. We worry about how we think, how we do, whether or not we have enough money, whether or not we have the ability to meet the challenge, whether or not people are going to like us, of all things. And our thoughts always reflect our struggle with God and our struggle with sin and our struggle with life. We may go to an abortion clinic with the pure intent of trying to stop somebody from doing this thing and feel better than they are. God's thoughts and God's ways are to have grace upon all of our thoughts and all of our ways. His plans are the plans for all living human beings. And the plans, they're so higher than us that we can't comprehend them, we can't attain them, we can only try to understand them. And as the writer says, if one would write a book to try to include it all, the world could not contain it. We're just these mortal beings. And we send a rocket to Mars and lose it on the other side, and we say, it took a long time to get there. But that's how far away from us is the thinking of our great God. God had plans for Judah. And the plans is that he would save those people and make them a people in whom salvation would come throughout the face of the earth. For the Lord foils the plans of the nations, but the plans of our God stand forever. And he has plans for your life and for my life. For the psalmist says, you did form my inward parts and knit me together in my mother's womb. You beheld my unformed substance. In your book were the days formed for me, when as yet there was nothing of them. They were not there. This is the way of God and the work of God, to call us back to grace, to call us back to this completely different thought, that God would take us with all of our unrighteousness and in the cross of Jesus make us the righteous ones, that God would take us from the depths of sins to the depths of his love, and though our sins be as scarlet, in Jesus that they would be as white as snow because of the blood. What no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed it to us through the Spirit. And when things don't go right and we get disgusted with ourselves and we don't know why things are working out the way they are working and people die and we don't expect it and things reverse on us and we don't understand and our prayers don't seem to be answered and God seems to be far away and our brain says, you failed again, this whole thing is falling apart. My ways are not your ways, says God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all of humankind, and from his dwelling place he watches over all the earth. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. They're on those people. On those who hope in his unfailing love. They're on those people to deliver them from death, to keep them alive even in famine, whatever it is, come what may. That's the thought of a gracious God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts,
Neither are my thoughts, ways, your ways. Never would have thought of that. Of course.